How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to it. 7:15 here on a Wednesday morning, a midweek Wednesday with JR. Simmer's on holidays this week. Jamie Baker is back after his all-day JB extravaganza Monday. Needed a full day to decompress yesterday. Back at it today. Well-caffeinated with a second coffee on the way, we think, at some point. Correct?
Yep. Thank you for having coffee here and coffee and cream. Much appreciated.
You're more than welcome. Now, you've had a bit of an issue. Again, we like to tear back the curtain here on the show. There are no secrets here on the show.
Okay.
You should know
what
that.
Happened?
Yeah, and you've had a bit of an issue with a rogue microphone arm today. So
yes.
Just to paint the picture for everybody, Bakes and I are sitting in the same room. There is a sort of a long arm which holds the microphone, which we speak into. Mine is perfectly stable right in front of my, mouth. You've got one that just kind of swings in front of your face.
It's like you're a magnet.
Exactly. Yeah, it's coming toward me.
It's, you know what it's doing? It's just allowing me the opportunity to persevere through some adversity here early in the morning. That's all it is. So yeah, it's just an opportunity.
The first time it swung in front of your face, I could see the disdain as I was talking. You shut off your mic and. You know, it works on
tighten the screws.
Yeah,
it's not like old school where screws were made of metal. It's plastic, and as we know, plastic over time degrades, and you don't get as tight a turn on it, which is part of the reason this thing is always moving in front. Although I think it's now somewhat stable, so don't touch it.
I think this is where Lee sits. Like, doesn't it drive him crazy? Like, I would think this would have been fixed by now.
With Lee, you just sort of, that's its own animal. That's probably the reason it moves.
Okay.
The way that it does is something that Lee
it's
does.
Moving away from him?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Sorry, Lee. Just kidding.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's all unjust. Unjust.
You're back. You're well refreshed from your all day extravaganza on Monday.
Yeah.
You've come back with more opinions.
Fire them away. And you know what? If I don't have an opinion on something, that's actually my opinion on it. That's a fair, like you asked me about the goaltending and I was like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they do. Like that was.
I'm not sure that's an acceptable answer though. This show is based on strong opinions.
Yeah. Well, I need time to ponder those opinions.
No, you don't have time.
Well, says who?
That's the rules of the
okay.
JR. Wow.
JR makes the rules. If there's something about this show and maybe life in general, JR makes the rules and he has a lot of them.
Something that requires some insight and thought, then I would need to know. I would appreciate knowing those questions ahead of time.
Oh, I see what's going on here.
Whoa, okay.
Okay, first of all, our show is all about
instant opinion.
Okay.
Brought to you by no hesitation.
Sometimes you're going to get like, I'm not sure. Cause you don't want to say something that you would have to retract in the future.
So somebody's a little bit spoiled with the host of the Senators pregame show who sends out copy of topic. Some people would call it preparation.
Oh yeah, it's
topics,
that's the truth.
Questions. This is what we're going to do. This is the questions I'm going to ask. Yeah, that doesn't happen here. There's nothing like that here whatsoever.
Oh, you're not happy at all. I can tell. Like this is the beauty of radio. No one else can see the facial reactions I'm getting right now. That's disdain right there. You are not happy. As my microphone moves.
Well, as you said, I'd appreciate, having the questions ahead of time. I said to you before we started the show, is there anything you'd like to talk about today? Anything in particular?
No, I didn't.
And you said no.
No, I'm going back to the question you asked the other day, 2 days ago, about the goaltending situation, what they do. And I'm like, I'm not sure what you do with the goaltending situation in Ottawa, especially based on all the injuries that they've had the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's all.
Should they go get, if Talbot doesn't sign, should they go get a veteran goalie? Yeah. Yeah, they probably should, but is Mads Søgaard ready to go? Like, can it be? And then where's Forsberg going to be from a health standpoint? Like, you almost need more internal information, which you're not going to get to have a qualified answer. That's all.
Talk radio, in sports talk radio,
this sounds like a lesson.
If we waited until whatever question that we needed answered to actually be answered with facts before we talked about it, there'd be a whole lot of this.
I'm getting scolded right now.
There'd be a lot of silence.
Well, that's what I'm learning. being on a 4 hour, the 4 hours, because I'm used to the pregame where there's your topics and
we have evolving opinions.
Yeah,
sometimes they can change within the course of just one show. I may have an opinion on something during the 6 o'clock hour. By the 9 o'clock hour, I've talked myself into 180
degree situations
difference.
Can change, but there are occasions. I'll have an opinion on most things, but the odd time you're like, I'm like, oh, I got to think about that. I'm not quite sure.
Right.
Like on the moment.
Okay.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
It is. It's more than fair.
Well, thank you.
Okay. The way that you sort of presented it though, is that you were unhappy with the fact that I, you know, hadn't.
Not
put
at
out
all.
A list of questions for you, topics for today.
I think there's. You were backing me into a corner on Monday about my opinion on one specific question, and maybe
Are you
I'm
saying I'm a bully.
No, not at all.
It seems like the honeymoon's over between you two now. Like it's
no, not so. Yeah, it's all good.
It lasted 5 hours.
You'll know.
And it's
now
done.
Now the microphone moving is bugging me, and I'm not even affected by it.
Yeah.
It's just the fact.
It's slow, too. It's like a slow drip.
It is. It's like the torture test.
Yeah, this is a water torture test. It's really testing me, too.
Oh,
now.
Dear. You could just move your chair a little bit closer.
I'm going to,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That's next.
Everything good?
Everything's great.
Okay.
This is fun. It's fun working with you guys. I told you that.
We began the show by talking quick. I just want to quickly touch on a couple of texts that have come in. That your girlfriend, who is away for work right now,
mm-hmm.
after your all-day Jamie Baker extravaganza on Monday, I said, you know, when you got home after doing a morning show, working your real job, and then doing the pre- and post-game show, if she wanted to talk when you got home, do you actually have any words left? And the topic evolved to the fact of that sometimes she actually talks out loud to herself, which I found a little bit different. Not in a bad way, just like that. That's interesting. JP from Orleans writes, there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. It's when you start answering yourself that you need to worry.
No, that's
does
good.
Does she ever answer herself?
Well, I don't listen in on those conversations per se. I just, you know, I recognize them,
yep.
but I don't get involved in them. That's okay. Actually why she's talking to herself, or then she'd start talking to me. So that's a good question.
Okay.
I don't think she's asking herself questions. I think she likes to plan. So she's just planning.
Yeah.
Talking to herself while she's planning her day, her week, and her month.
Okay. And I don't want this to be a concern, but Josh texted in and said, Kathy Bates in Misery used to talk to herself as well. So again, just put that in your back
okay.
pocket.
I'll keep okay. that in mind. That's okay. good. Good. That's advice.
Yes.
And I'll always take some good advice.
Okay. All good. All good. All right. You ended up watching Nashville and Boston last
yep.
night, which was in a somewhat dull game.
Yes,
Boston was kind of just, I don't know.
There was nothing going on. The second period was just like, there's nothing else to say. Then it was just boring. And
yeah, they were sort of due for a flat game because they yep. haven't had many of those this year.
Even Jack Edwards seemed bored.
Well, someone texted it and said, yeah, the only thing interesting about the game was Jack Edwards' commentary.
Well,
was he saying he was bored or he
no, he
bored?
Didn't. He didn't sound
he wasn't outraged by anything.
No, not like he was on Saturday against Tampa. Yeah. He was interesting.
There ends up being, and if you don't have the NHL package, you know, like Sportsnet, and when they just do kind of just random games, they end up showing a lot of Boston games, and you get the Nesson broadcast, which is Jack Edwards. So there ends up being, I think, a lot of people end up seeing a lot of Boston, and they've been good this year, so obviously they want to have, you know, good hockey teams play. I'm probably in the minority of... I find him pretty entertaining. Like, he's outrageous, don't get me wrong,
yeah.
and he's got some things that are unhinged. But for the most part, I do find him entertaining as a play-by-play guy. That appears to be, judging by the fact that...
At times. He can be entertaining, but at the same time, like, he's a noted homer, but he doesn't hide it. So
yeah.
I give him credit. Like, he's like, I'm cheering for Boston. This is what our market likes. So if they like him in that market, that's what it's about.
When you were in San Jose doing TV...
Yep.
Okay. Were you guys so-called homers? Did you try and play it down the middle or what?
I think we played it. You can't play it. I was talking to Hammer about this. Like, it's you have to think of it as an infomercial. So you're providing information. There's an entertaining aspect, an educating aspect. You're trying to, you know, teach people that are new to the hockey or, you know, catch. I always wanted to, like, to be able to share one nugget that somebody might go, I never thought of it that way. Or, oh, okay, that's it. Like, it's, you know, but it, you're still there to promote the game of hockey and the organization. Like, that's when you work for a team. So that's how it was kind of brought to us. So we were relatively, we were given quite a bit of rope, though, as far as being objective.
You could be critical of the team?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not,
I mean,
and not get something
no,
feedback
I mean,
on that?
What people don't realize is then you get on the plane, and, like, if you're traveling, especially, like, on TV, like, I'd get the stink eye from some guys. Like, if I said something critical about a player, and then he's texting with his wife after the game, and we get on the plane, the guy gives me a dirty look. I'm like, meh, he's been texting with his wife. His wife watched the game.
Well, so you said you did the color from between the benches. You were actually on the bench.
Yeah.
You weren't, like...
So, but they don't know, they can't hear me then. So, when I'm at home, it's different, because, you know, the families, the wives and that, at least, they're at the game.
Right.
But when you're on the road, they're watching. So, you know that. And so are people from hockey operations and everyone else, you know what I mean? So, there's more people actually kind of tuning in that... It's different levels of criticism. You can get the... You know, there's the fan base, and we were always told there's going to be people that are going to be hardcore, and this is kind of a little bit of the Twitter crowd, that are, they lean towards being negative more often than not. They're very loud. Mm-hmm. But that's not the overall fan base. Like, there's a lot of people that, after a loss, they don't want you to berate the team. Like, they if they love the Sharks, or when we're here, they love the Senators. They don't want you berating the team. Like, they love the Senators, and okay, they lost. So it's easy to stray down the negative path based on social media, but that's not necessarily the majority of people.
Social media has a, I like to say, is a very loud megaphone.
Right.
But not necessarily reflective overall of how people feel.
So that's where I always use statistics. That's why I came in. I did some prep this weekend because I knew we were going to talk about the state of the Sens and everything. And I like where the team's been since December 1st overall. Like, that was my window, not the recent window where they'd gone 3-7-1. I didn't like that window. But since December 1, I was like, okay, this is where they slot. They'd be seventh in the East. That's great by me, when I look at this team from a projection standpoint. But when you look at the whole season and you encapsulate it all, obviously it's not the same. So it's using statistics not to manipulate the situation. It's just to kind of tell a story and not micro. It gets really easy to microanalyze game by game by game. And, you know, some cases you have to take a bigger snapshot of what's going on and give credit where credit's due, or you have to be critical where it's time to be critical. And, like, I was really critical in the month of November because I was like, this is unacceptable, this start, because they're going to be behind the eight ball. And I give them credit, the resiliency. So that's, you know, you learn different lessons. There's different people watching, you know. So Jack Edwards in that market, that's how he is. Now, I thought it was interesting in Tampa, against Tampa on Saturday, because you remember what he'd said previously about Pat Maroon.
Yes.
Okay.
And then he actually had to go and, I think, tried to apologize.
You just said it. I think he tried to apologize, and I don't know how well the apology went, because he was kind of going after Maroon again. Nothing about his weight or anything, but Maroon got a penalty, like an unsportsmanlike, or he got a penalty early in the game. So put Boston on the power play. And, like, Jack Edwards kind of went up because Boston ended up scoring on the power play. And they were like, that's, like, Pat Maroon. And, you know, he was part of why Boston's up 1-0. Like, he kind of went at him a little. Like, I noticed it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm like, I don't know.
Felt personal?
A little bit. That's how it felt. I was like, that's where Jack Edwards, to me, took it too far.
Right.
Like, yeah, you might have tried to apologize. The fact that you had to apologize means you were probably in the wrong. And whether he accepted it to your face or not, It's you move on from that issue. You don't go and kind of go into it was actually more passive aggressive than anything. And I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So that's where a fine line you get micro as analysts on, especially on TV, you get micro analyzed. So you're no different than the players.
Right.
Is fans relate to you. And if you say, God forbid you mispronounce a name or something like that, like, it's on Twitter right away. My second game on TV. So I was on radio forever. my second game, I kid you not, second game on TV, I go on Twitter and somebody says, Jamie Baker has hairy knuckles. So I shave my knuckles. I'm a knuckle shaver.
Wow.
Somebody said that. I'm not kidding. I'm like, you've got to be joking because they're looking at my my hand.
How can they even tell?
I know on the microphone. I don't know. I don't know. They noticed. They're like, he's got hairy knuckles. No, I just shaved him. I shaved my knuckles. It's like after once you hear that once on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Wow.
Once that happens once.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to continue it, right?
Yeah. It changes your perspective on the hair on your hands. You're never the same.
How There's often no... do you have to shave them? Is it like every other day?
Has it stuck with you since?
Yeah.
Do you look at your hands often?
Has it stuck with you since? Of course it stuck with me. I just told you I shaved them recently. Yeah. Every 4 to 6 months.
Whether I need to or not.
I notice, so I won't notice. And then I'll notice and I'm like, okay, they're starting to get like strays. I call them like, they're like strays. It's not, uh-huh. It's not a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I don't look like a wolf or something like that.
So when you go for a Jamie Baker mani pedi, do you also say, could you just take back the hair a little bit as well at the same time?
Just trim the knuckles back a bit.
Have you ever found your girlfriend Anne-Marie when she's talking to herself, talking about the fact that you need to shave your knuckles at any point?
No, she talks about the hair on my back.
Oh, God.
Which is another story. Which drives me crazy. It drives me crazy that you lose... It's ridiculous that you lose hair on your head, but you get it on your back. It makes absolutely no friggin' sense. Like there's like, I don't know. I've never talked to a hair doctor or somebody that's like to figure this out.
So she's not saying it in a complimentary way necessarily. You're not sure.
No, she helps me out in that cause.
Okay. All
there's right. grooming. There's I'll... grooming done at the Baker House.
Okay.
I do the knuckle grooming.
So,
but the point of the story is
yes.
If you think broadcasters aren't immune to getting criticized. They are. For instance, my second game I ever did on TV.
Yeah.
Somebody was, anyway.
Yeah. So you mentioned that from time to time, you'd get the, as you called it, the stink eye, the hairy eyeball from a player when you had perhaps been critical of something during the aspect of a game.
Yeah.
Did it ever come to, did you like to converse with players?
Yeah.
Were you proactive on that? Like, would you, if you thought a guy had a tough game, let's say, and you had been, you know, said, hey, this guy hasn't had a very good game, or this was a terrible play, or whatever, would you proactively go to that player, not necessarily on the plane, but maybe in the dressing room before the next game, something like that? Or did you kind of wait to hear from them? Or how did you normally handle that?
I wouldn't do that very often. There might have been the odd time I'm like, I kind of had to talk about, like, if it was really obvious, I'm like, hey, you kind of put me in a bad spot there. Sorry, you know, something like that. But,
right.
You know, it comes down to perspective. You go back a couple of games ago when Stützle turned the puck over in the corner. Like, that's not from a lack of effort or anything. Like, you bring it up. That's not a problem. And then there's some players that if they're making the same mistake over and over again, that's a little harder because you have to be a little more critical. Or if the effort or compete level isn't there, that's when it gets really hard.
Yeah.
So that's where you have to call it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is they're not competing. Which over now you can justify it over the course of a season. As an ex-player, I'm like, these games are going to happen. Like you're not going to be at peak performance 82 times, which, you know, as a fan, as a paying fan, if you're going to a game, you want to see peak performance, but it's not realistic. These guys, it's a grind. It's a long season. And that's not possible, both from a mental or physical standpoint. So you have to kind of relate all that in. Like, that's where that Chicago game, where the Sens lost in Chicago, that game didn't bother me. I was waiting for that game to happen. You know, they'd been on an emotional high. They, like, just pounded Detroit those two games. They played so well. They go into beating the Rangers. I thought they were going to have the letdown against Columbus, actually.
Yeah.
At home, I thought, I think this is going to be a really tough game to win. And they
just made the big Chychrun trade.
And then right? they blew them out, and then they went in, and it all happened in Chicago. Everything. They just weren't there. Mm-hmm. Then they rebounded, beat Seattle. And then the two frustrating games for me on that trip were the way they played in Vancouver and Calgary. Like, right. those were two winnable games, and I didn't see the energy there. I didn't see the, you know, as I call it, the jam. Like, they didn't play with any jam. And I was like, how come? And they might have been just a little bit worn down, which just happens over the course of the year. And you learn as, you know, as you get older, how to manage and the entire season, both mentally and physically.
Yeah.
It's not something that comes easy. Like, there is a fatigue factor that these guys deal with, and if you have it happening to multiple guys at the same time, it's like spokes in a wheel. They're not going. Your chances of victory are going down. So
you have a tank full of physical and mental energy.
Yep.
And just like a gas tank for your car, it does go down, and at times it reaches E, and that you know, that's inevitable. Yeah. And I think sometimes, and listen, I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, of you know, expecting excellence from the excellent players and expecting, you know, from the average players, average play. And when you get less than that, you know, from time to time, I tend to kind of, and I'm guilty of it, and I try not to, of, you know, boiling it all down to one thing, and it's not one thing. You know, you have to, you know, keep it in perspective of kind of bigger picture, whether it's one play. Well, that's within the context of one period, which isn't within the context of one game, which isn't the period within the context of 5 or 10 games or whatever.
Absolutely.
It may be, right?
They're interrelatable. Absolutely. So I guess as an ex-player, having been through the season and you go through it, like, I would have ups and downs over a course of a season. So I just understand it, the physical toil it takes on these guys. Now you go back to the start of the season and the team is struggling. There is no fatigue factor. So you're like, what's going on? Like, those first 20 games, you're out there like everybody's fresh.
Yeah.
You know, now you may run into some injuries if you have early season injuries or whatever, but that's you know, those are going to happen. You hope they don't happen early in the season, but any of this mental or physical fatigue is not a reason, or it's not an excuse whatsoever. I don't like using the word excuse. I use it. Hey, it's kind of a reason, but you can't use that even as a reason in the first quarter of the season.
Okay, let's end this talk with this, because you brought up a couple times already on the show today that, you know, and we're in a period of, quote, meaningful games for Ottawa, and whether it ends up, you know, making the playoffs in some long shot way, or in all probability ends up falling short, you're saying, well, this is good stuff for next year. The comeback from some of the fans would be, you know, who have watched and have been here for the past 6 years of non-playoff hockey, we have seen at times, not every season, we have seen better play toward the end of seasons passed with the Sens, that the next season, that didn't seem to have any effect whatsoever. Next season was kind of back down to the level that it was. So my question to you would be, why do you think this year potentially will be different for next year?
Because these are considered meaningful games, and they're getting a taste of what it's like to be in the playoff race. I'm not talking about finishing the season strong so there's a carryover to the start of the season. There's barely a carryover from one game to the next at the NHL level. Like, you just don't know. Like, yeah.
Even McGuire used to say it all the time. There's no momentum at all.
Yeah. Like, right. even from period to period, you can score a late goal,
yep,
at the end of a period, and I know it's like, oh, that's going to have a huge momentum switch in this game, and then you come out the next period, and it's like the other team gets to settle down, and it's like, oh, you're right back at it. So I'm not talking about finishing strong here, relating anything to do with how the team starts next year. They have to start well. They have to, like, learn from the last 3 years, which they haven't started well. So that's what they have to figure out, is like, what do we have to do to have a good start? But if they get into this position next year where they're fighting for a playoff spot, or they're fighting for home ice or something, they know what it feels like to play meaningful, pressure-filled games where, like, the night before, you are looking at the standings to watch other teams to see how they're doing. And then how are you performing under this, you know, duress, if you will, because right, there is more pressure at this time of year. How are you handling it? So that's just good experience that they can relate to in the later stages of next season. That's right. All. And that's the experience that I'm hoping for.
All right, we'll take a break. Thoughts on anything that Bakes had to say right there? You can text us at 12-1200. You can tweet at us at TSN 1200. See, you've brought some good, strong opinions there.
Good.
Okay.
Bring them both ways.
Without any sort of, like, notes, without any sort of, hey, here's what I'm going to ask you about.
Yeah.
All right. It just kind of flowed out of you. like the proverbial fountain of youth.
You beat that horse till it's dead, don't you? Like, you really do. Like, stomp on it, and it's like,
you learned
grind
quick.
It. You grind it into the ground. Like,
I tend to hang on to things for a little while.
Gosh. That's becoming apparent. I haven't really worked with you before. I haven't really seen you much. I just get I give you my monthly schedule. I don't know if you listen. I've got no feedback in a year and a half. So I assume from you I'm doing okay on the pre and post game.
I keep inviting you back. So
so now I'm getting to know you, and I'm like, okay,
it's what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. You know what you do? You keep everybody on their toes. That's what you do.
Always keep them guessing.
Gotta keep everybody alert.
Yeah.
There you go.
7:41. We'll take a break. Come back with much more. We got a code word still to come this hour in our Great Sens jersey giveaway. So stand by for that. Dave Poulin is in Philadelphia. He watched the Flyers knock off the Habs last night. Bit of a snoozer, to be quite honest here, that we'll talk to Pooley about that and all things NHL coming up after 8 as we roll on here on Wednesday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 7:49 on this Wednesday morning. JR, Jamie Baker's in for the vacationing Sean Simpson alongside Hammer. And there you go, there's some Smashing Pumpkins just announced yesterday. They're coming to Canadian Tire Center for a show on September the 3rd. And tickets on sale this Friday if you're a big Pumpkins fan. Billy Corgan and company. I don't know if they've been to Ottawa before, actually. Well, I don't know if they've...
Have they been here for Blues Fest?
They broke up for a while. So I wasn't even quite aware that necessarily they were back together, or maybe it's just him with some of the band.
I think that might be what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm not up to date on my Smashing Pumpkins news either.
Yeah, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. That would be
great album.
Yeah, double. I have the CD of that. Remember how thin...
Do you have that in your CD changer in the trunk of your car?
No, I don't have that, but I've got the double CD... which is about the thickness of about 8 CDs, if that makes any sense. I don't know why it's as thick, because you had to fold it out, right?
Do you have a booklet and maybe some lyrics?
I'd have to look. But yeah, it's probably a collector. It's probably a collector's. Well, no, there'd be a few million of those.
You still have all your CDs?
I do, somewhere, in a box. But
you sound disappointed.
All
in
my
that.
Music's on a phone, on my phone.
Yeah.
It's just too easy. I do miss, like I'm old enough to remember, and you would be too, albums. Album art is something that's missed, right? Like the actual album and the art that was on it. Like even CDs obviously didn't really replicate
Pink
that.
Pink Floyd, one of the best album covers of all time.
Just passed its 50th anniversary, I think, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Just saw that recently.
You can stop sending in your pictures of hairy knuckled people on Twitter. Thank you very much to all those that did that.
I haven't even looked at Twitter. God forbid. Shouldn't have brought it up.
Text comes in.
Stupid move.
Poker Rick, Jamie, I shave my knuckles once a month, so don't feel alone. Get your back waxed for Anne-Marie before she comes back. She'll love you for it.
And I've had my back waxed before. It's like, it hurts. And it was still going
back.
It didn't work.
Can't you just go with the Nair stuff so it kind of just melts away?
I don't know. It's not that bad. My back isn't that bad. It's not that bad. I don't have like a supremely hairy back. I get a few back hairs.
I'm a little curious, though, after your first appearance on TV and the unfortunate criticism of your hairy knuckles, did you get, after your second game on TV, a way to go, Bakes, from the same tweeter saying,
that's not how Twitter works.
You don't get a big thumbs up emoji.
Why not? Come on.
With some hair, drawn on it.
Nothing like that.
No. No, you're right. You got to admit, JR, Steve writes, at the end of that last segment, Jamie was as smooth as some freshly shaved knuckles.
Yeah. See? Easy peasy. Easy peasy.
Okay. Soccer last night. Canada took on Honduras in a Nations League qualifier. This is to get to the final in Vegas in June. Canada needed a win or a draw. Game was in Toronto. They're taking on Honduras. Don't want to speak for the Honduran, players and or people in general. Probably not that comfortable in, I don't know what the temperature ended up being at kickoff. Relatively cool weather. Advantage Canada that way. Advantage Canada early on the score sheet.
Laren, touch and go with the Soria. Back to Laren! Goal for Canada! Laren, 27 for Canada.
There you go. Kyle Laren, first of two he got in the first 11 minutes of the game. And the Canada was on its way to a 4-1 win over Honduras. Would you like to see hockey announcers announce goals in the same way as soccer announcers do?
No.
Do you appreciate the fact of...
No, I like the soccer announcers. Just that's relevant to their sport. They don't score as much, so it's exciting.
So it'd be too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Yeah, like last night, what was it in the Edmonton-Vegas game? 7-4? Yeah. That's too many.
11 times would be
too
many.
Yeah, that's too many.
And I guess you can't pick and choose at the time of, hey, I'm going to make this my really long goal call.
Yep.
Because the other team could come back and score 3 in a row, and what do you do then?
You get the excitement of overtime goals in the playoffs.
What about just for an overtime goal? Because then you know that's a game ender.
Yeah, then I think you have your own slant on it. That can be a little more dramatic.
You'll
absolutely
love it. Yep. Okay.
So Dan Rusinowski, I always worked with Dan Rusinowski on the radio, and he used to like put his hand in front of my face whenever there was like a big goal or like an overtime goal.
This is my moment.
Oh yeah, like he was going with it. Yeah, he was cutting me off before I even started.
And then you learned?
Oh yeah, learned quickly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Learned your place.
Are you keeping up with Nations League soccer?
I am not.
Were you a big soccer guy before, or you just kind of got into it as Canada, you know, made
no,
the run last year?
No, I'm like...
Casual fan?
Very casual fan, but have always been interested in the World Cup. It's just, it's such a cool tournament, you know, and it's a global, and so...
It'll be in Toronto in 2026. Will you go to a game?
I may actually go, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be a cool experience, yeah. So...
Me too. It's on my bucket list now.
Yeah.
Wish they were playing in Montreal, but they're not. They're only playing in Toronto and Vancouver.
Yeah, Toronto and
absolutely going to be there.
So is Canada definitely going to be playing in Canada or not necessarily?
Yes.
They will
play in Canada.
They
well, yeah, I don't, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say for sure, but I don't know for sure. But I'm going to say for sure. I'm going to go out my very thin limb and say absolutely.
It's for sure.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to get more games because they've now expanded the number of games that are going to be played. It went from 64 or 68, whatever it would have been under the old, they're expanding the number of teams, but also expanding the number of games that are that. So they're going to be over 100 games now.
Okay.
So Canada initially was only going to be getting 10 games total for the tournament. Most of it will be in the U.S. and then some in Mexico and some in Canada. We're going to have 10. Now, I think it's going up, as I said, over 100, so 30 more. So I bet you we're going to be up to maybe 16
okay,
games,
good.
Something like that. So maybe 8 in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean... Canadian tickets will be tough to get, but I'd be up to see any team really go out. Like it's people from around the world are congregating, and it's awesome. It's cool.
Amber, what was the World U-17 was here in Ottawa?
Oh, it was here, yeah.
In like about 2007, actually, was right around, I want to say.
Yeah.
Right around when the Sens were going to the Stanley Cup Final. Anyway, Messi, was Messi here?
I think that's what AJ keeps going on. There's a bunch of world stars that were in Ottawa for that group.
Anyway, it was, you know, it's a U-17. It's a world championship, but it's a U-17. You're thinking, okay, well, this is cool. Really, really young, good soccer players are going to be here. You go to a game, and like the Argentinian fans are there with the drums and the singing and the flags at what was then Lansdowne Park. It was great. It was like almost like, felt like being at a mini World Cup.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Well, like the World Juniors to Canada. It's that important. It's an important tournament here in Canada. And there's Canadians that travel abroad for that tournament. So I can see the Argentinians doing it other nations.
Somebody just texted and said, did that play-by-play guy cut you off or wrap your knuckles? Sorry. Yeah.
I brought it on myself.
You did.
You don't be, there's no need to apologize.
Okay, so Canada's on to the Nations League semifinal that is in June in Las Vegas. So Panama won last night, Canada won last night, the U.S. and Mexico had both won the night previous to that. So those are the four teams that'll be in. So actually, Canada gets to play, and I'm not sure why it works out the way that it does, but Canada gets to play to Panama, and the U.S. plays Mexico in the semis.
It's seeded. Mexico is somehow the fourth seed.
Yeah.
And then Canada and Panama are 2-3.
Okay. So there we go. So I would say, Canada's got a relatively, based on the way we played against Panama at in the World Cup qualifying, we got a good chance of beating them and making the final of
making
this
the
event.
Final. That's what we want.
Which is in June. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. One quick Sens note, because we haven't touched on the Sens at all. They were off yesterday. They sent Dylan Ferguson back to Belleville yesterday. So presumably that means that Cam Talbot, who's been kind of back on the ice the last couple of practices, is going to be good to go to at least backup. Would you start him? If he's healthy and he says, I'm good to go, would you start him? Or because I heard DJ Smith, was that in a post-game? You did the post-game show on Monday.
Yeah.
Was he talking then, or was it another thing where he said, in regards to Sogard and his playing time, that kind of in a roundabout way, he said the more rest he gets, the better. Like, I'm not just talking back-to-back. Like, in general, like, even if they're playing every other game, it's like it seems like, I believe it was DJ, kind of said, you know, I'd be paraphrasing his words, but it was kind of like, if we give him even some extra time off from that, he's even better. So.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear that, so I'm not sure.
Okay. So I may have been totally making that up, too.
No. You're not making that up. That was from the post-game show.
Okay.
Where you just talked about extra rest.
Well, I guess I was listening, but I wasn't consuming
it. You're probably tired because you've been on the air all day.
So.
Okay. Anyway, carry on.
I would, if Talbot's ready, he's supposed to be your guy. So I would go with Talbot if he's ready to go. That's what you brought him here for. As long as they're still in the playoff hunt, yeah, I think you're playing the goalie that you think is going to give you the best chance to win. That's it. And that's up to the coaching staff, the goalie coach. Like, that's their job to make that decision, depending on how he's practicing, how he feels. Is he ready to come right into in a game? Is he ready to go after only being on the ice a few times? Like, what's it going to take? So if he thinks he can come in and he's going to be a value to the team and help the team win, then to me, he's your guy. If it gets to the point where they're mathematically eliminated, personally, I think you rotate the goalies because I still want to see Sogard in some games down the stretch. If you think Sogard's your guy because he's played well lately, that he's going to give you the best chance to win, then he's your starter, in my opinion. Because they're still in it right now. Not mathematically eliminated, and these are important games, and they want to keep pushing their way up the standings as best they can. So whoever's going to give you a chance.
I think I asked you at the end of Monday's show about going forward with the Sens goaltending, and I don't remember what your answer was. Here's my thought on Cam Talbot and my concern about bringing him back. He's a UFA at the end of this year. Is that this is now the third, significant as you can take it any way you want. You know, this is the third injury, which has kept him out of the lineup for, a period of time of longer than a game or two, like where he's been on the injured list. And he's 35, I believe, turning 36 years old. I worry about any player, goaltender, skater, whatever, that once you get into your 30s specifically, but then into your mid to late 30s, where you're starting to miss chunks of time with injury, that becomes what you are. So that would be my concern, because as a wise man once said, the most important part of ability is availability.
Yes.
And he has not been available enough this season where I could commit to that next year as one of my two goalies. That would be my concern.
It's a valid concern, and I too have the same concern. I mean, I'm concerned whoever the goalie is here, to be honest. Doesn't matter whether you're a veteran or you're younger. The last 2 years, they've been getting injured. It's like that trend that the hockey gods have to look down on Ottawa next year and have healthy goaltenders.
You think there's something with the way, and I'm, again, not being, I don't know what happens, so I'm not being critical. I'm just being curious as to, is this just bad luck?
This is just bad luck.
This is not the way that, they train their goalies in the offseason. This is the program we want you to do.
It's something different. It's always something different. So no, I don't see this having any basis to do with training or anything like that. And you're bringing in Talbot. He's been training elsewhere for years and years. So it's not, this is just bad luck. And maybe it's good that it's happened in years where they were still trying to get out of the bottom third of the league and, find themselves into the middle of the pack.
Luck evens out, I say, usually.
And then maybe they're going to be healthy in the next few years when they're pushing to be, not just from the middle of the pack, get into the, top 10 or something like that, where they're healthy. And it's like, okay, this is great. So it's like this good fortune. We paid for it in the past. We're getting it now. But just bad luck. I mean, look at Forsberg's injury. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, that has nothing to do with anything
training,
other than
you're right,
absolutely ridiculously bad luck.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it. So, yeah, that would be the concern regarding Talbot moving forward, is any player. Any player coming in, once you get into your mid-30s and older, I hate to say it, it happens to every athlete. The law of diminishing returns comes into play, and the potential of injury starts to go up a little bit.
Philadelphia Flyers will be in town tomorrow night for a 7 o'clock face-off with the Sens, and then Toronto is here on Saturday, and then the Sens hit the road for three straight before they return home for their final three games of the season. So, yeah, only 8 games left on the schedule. We'll find out a little bit more today because they're back on the practice ice at 10:30 this morning. maybe get an indication if Tyler Cleven is going to draw in for his NHL debut coming up tomorrow night as well. We'll keep you up to date throughout the day, of course, here on TSN 1200. All right, stand by. We'll take a break and get you to the top of the hour news and a full sports update. Penguins lost last night. Again, the playoff hopes are slim, but that helps as they fell to Detroit 7-4. So an update on that, and then we'll talk about it all with Dave Poole, and he'll join us from Philadelphia. He watched the Flyers knock off the Habs last night. Dave Poole is next here on TSN 1200.